American cities are facing two aggravating crises. Affordable public housing is in short supply, and violent crime is on the rise. A growing dynamic overlaps both. Legions of cameras are being deployed in public housing areas. Officials argue they are a 24/7 crime deterrent. But what happens when the camera focus shifts from fighting crime to monitoring the people they were put in place to protect? An investigation by the Washington Post found those eyes on the poor are being used to punish and evict residents, at times for minuscule missteps, at others based on wrong assumptions. Douglas McMillan is the reporter who led this investigation for the Washington Post, and he joins us now. Doug, let's start right off of the top here. These cameras are often purchased using government grants meant for fighting crime. But take us through what you found out about punishment for those who live in those areas.
Yeah, so crime and drugs are still a very ever-present problem in many of the public housing communities around the country. Not all of them, but many of them. And one of the ways that they are increasingly trying to fight those problems is with cameras. And, you know, they're arguing that they can cover more ground. These often very budget-conscious, resource-strapped local government agencies are trying to cover more ground and watch more of their territory with these cameras. What my reporting has showed is when they put these cameras up, a lot of times they will begin turning them on residents and using them to catch violations of their lease agreements that you and me and many of our viewers here would probably not classify as crimes.
What are some specifics?
So monitoring people for smoking in the wrong place. Catching one woman was in her eviction proceedings in court, contained a picture of her removing a laundry basket from the communal laundry room.
And she was evicted for that.
She wasn't evicted for that, but that was part of the record that was brought before her in court. And the lawyers that I'm talking to who help people who are dealing with these evictions say that more and more often, evictions that they are seeing from public housing authorities are referencing this footage, and the footage is helping to persuade the courts and the judges in order to remove these people from their homes.
What do the residents tell you about this? Are they aware of these cameras? And what do they see as the trade-offs here in their lives?
Yeah, many residents actually want more cameras. Many residents in public housing do fear for their lives and fear for the kind of crime and drug problems that are around them. But a lot of times when the cameras go up, many of them kind of have a different experience and a different story about what the cameras are. A lot of times they do not say that the cameras are being used to capture the problems that are the most severe for them. For example, the daily occurrences of packages being stolen from their doorstep or a car being hit in front of their door. A lot of times when these kinds of things happen, what they tell me is that they will go to the housing authority, ask for the footage to help them kind of solve those problems. And many times they say they're being told that the footage is not available or that they can't be used for that purpose. So the question that you have to ask is, are these cameras being used to help the community that they're being put in to help, or are they being used to watch that community?
How widespread is this, and how widespread is the use also of facial recognition here?
The cameras themselves are increasingly widespread. I mean, most public housing authorities have some kind of surveillance system. But what's happened in the past few years is they've gotten increasingly sophisticated. And with these federal grants, the Department of Housing and Urban Development makes about $10 million annually available to public housing agencies. And increasingly, that money is going further. So in the past two or three years, now that money that you used to get you a basic camera setup can now get you things like facial recognition or cameras that have software baked into them that can recognize what's going on the screen and in some cases make determinations about what's going on the screen and determinations about what it thinks is suspicious.
Wow, so that's really sort of a big brother factor, what everyone's doing and when in that community.
Well, it's this question about automating policing and automating, letting a camera and an algorithm decide what is suspicious. And researchers have shown that facial recognition, for example, has been biased towards people of color and women, in many cases, have been misidentified by facial recognition cameras. Mm. So, and my reporting has showed that in some, not many yet, I think it's still very early, but in some public housing authorities are beginning to use facial recognition to do things like enforce ban lists, to identify people who have been banned from the property and alert authorities when the cameras see them enter those properties.
What are some of the ultimate consequences you found here? Can folks who face eviction from this appeal these decisions? And is there any dialogue either from your reporting with officials or for residents who say, we don't like this? How does that work?
Well, in many cases, I've found the residents are not aware of the cameras or any kind of policies around them. And most of the cases I've found, the housing authorities haven't really kind of laid out policies around how they are going to use these cameras. So I think what you could see for going forward is more of a dialogue about, you know, what should we allow these cameras to be used for? What should they not be allowed to use for? But the consequences can be very severe. When people lose their home in public housing, oftentimes they end up homeless because public housing, they're often at the end of the rope and they don't have any other options. That's why they're living in government subsidized housing. And when they're evicted from their home, they often not only are homeless, but their future opportunities for employment and housing are severely diminished.
You featured a woman who's on her sister's couch, I think, right now.
Yeah, a woman who was kicked out of her housing for smoking outside of the property, among other reasons. And she's living on her sister's couch. And she told me that when she's applying for housing now and she goes to kind of apply for the next stop, she keeps getting running into this barrier of they're running her reference check and they're rejecting her based on her eviction from public housing. So, you know, one instance like that of the cameras catching you doing something wrong could end up having lifetime consequences for you.
I could hear some people saying these folks are breaking rules. They're in public housing. Is there any context on whether other kinds of landlords outside of public housing could evict people for these sorts of things?
Definitely. My reporting didn't really focus on this, but the cameras and surveillance equipment is a growing focus for private developers all around the country. And I think there are actually, you know, more opportunities for them to use sophisticated surveillance methods because they're not beholden to any federal agency or any local government agency and the kind of policies and scrutiny that might result from that.
Doug McMillan, a fascinating, important area that we might not have known about except for your reporting. Thank you for The Washington Post joining us.
Thanks, Lisa.